Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. And I'm going to give you a very brief Lenten devotion or Lenten reflection today. And this really fits in with our saint of the day, Saint John of God, not to be confused with Saint John of the Cross. How many times have we heard God's message and ignored it or not paid heed to it? How many times has God told us to do something and we haven't done it? And that applies to me equally as to anybody else, maybe more so. Because I know I've heard God tell me to do things and I've ignored him because I didn't want to do it. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a mortal sin. If God tells me to do something and I ignore him, I've committed a mortal sin. Thank God for the sacrament of confession. So anyway, our saint of the day is Saint John of God. And Saint John of God was a 16th century saint. He was born March 8, 1495, and he died March 8, 1550. He was a Portuguese soldier turned healthcare worker in Spain, whose followers later formed the Brothers Hospitallers of St. John of God, a worldwide Catholic religious institute dedicated to the care of the poor, sick, and those with mental disorders. He has been canonized by the Catholic Church and is considered one of the leading religious figures of the Iberian Peninsula, which is Portugal and Spain. And to put him in that type of company speaks volumes, because from Spain you've got St. John of Avila, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of God, or St. John of the Cross. I mean, you got three heavy hitters, one of whom is the doctor of the church, two of whom are doctors of the church. Isn't Teresa of Avila a doctor of the church?
She sure is.
So, you got two heavy hitters right there in St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, and St. John of God is being put right up there with him. That speaks volumes.
That's
for
Brady
Cummings.
That's so right there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, the first biography of John of God was written by Francisco de Castro, the chaplain of John of God's hospital in Granada, Spain. He drew on his personal knowledge of John as a young man and also used material gathered from eyewitnesses and contemporaries of his subject, of St. John of God. It was published at the express wish of the Archbishop of Granada, who gave financial backing to its publication. Castro began writing in 1579, which is 29 years after St. John of God's death, but he did not live to see it published because he died soon after completing the work. His mother, Catalina de Castro, had the book published in 1585. So, John of God was born João Duarte Cidade, which is Portuguese. His parents were, where were they? André Cidade and Teresa Duarte. And Teresa came from a once prominent family that was impoverished at the time, but was of great faith. And when John was about 8 years old, he disappeared. Whether he had been kidnapped or seduced to leave by a religious to whom they gave hospitality was then unknown and is still unknown. But what we do know is that he left with that, I'm guessing, priest, because monks didn't usually live in the world. They usually were cloistered in monasteries. So, and John would return many years later to his hometown to find out that her parents were gone. His mother died soon after he disappeared of grief, and apparently his father joined the Franciscan order. Anyway, he soon found himself homeless in the streets of Oropeso near Toledo, Spain. He had nobody to count on but himself. He had no shelter, no place to stay. He had to survive on what food he could find. And there he found himself taken in by a guy named Francisco Mayoral. And young St. John settled down as a shepherd, caring for his sheep in the countryside. The farmer was so pleased with St. John's strength and diligence that he wanted him to marry his daughter and become his heir. When he was about 22 years of age, to escape his master's well-meant but persistent offer of his daughter's hand in marriage, the young man joined a company of foot soldiers, and in that company fought for the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, and was eventually dispatched by the Count of Oropesa, Fernando Alvarez de Toledo y Zuniga, against French forces at Fontavia. While serving there, he was appointed to guard an enormous amount of loot, much of which had already been rifled through by the time he was relieved. By the time he was appointed. Nonetheless, suspicion naturally fell on him, even if he had not been involved in the theft, but at least he was guilty of dereliction of duty. He was condemned to death, and that would have been his fate had not some more tolerant officer intervened to win his pardon. Disillusioned by this turn of events that he felt was, after what he felt was faithful military service, St. John returned to the farm in Oropesa. He then spent 4 years again following a pastoral life. This went on until the day that the Count and his troops marched by on their way to fight in Hungary against the Turks. Still unmarried, he immediately decided to enlist with them and left Oropesa for a final time. For the next 18 years, he served as a trooper in various parts of Europe. When the Count and his troops had helped out the Turks, helped in the rout of the Turks, they set sail to return to Spain, landing in Galicia. There, young St. John found himself so close to his homeland, he decided to return to his hometown and see what he could learn of his family he had lost so many years before. By that time, he had forgotten his parents' names, but retained enough information from his childhood that he was able to track down an uncle he had still living in the town. He learned their fate from his uncle, and realizing that he no longer had any real ties to the region, he returned to Spain. He arrived near Seville, where he soon found work herding sheep, which was familiar to him. With the time now available to him to ponder his life, he began to realize that his occupation no longer satisfied him, and he felt a desire to see Africa and possibly give his life as a martyr through working to free Christians enslaved there. He immediately set out for the Portuguese territory of Ceora, located on the northern coast of Africa. On the way, he befriended a Portuguese knight also traveling there with his wife and daughters, who was being exiled to that region by the King of Portugal for some crime he had committed. When they arrived in the colony, the knight found that the few possessions the family had been able to take with them had been stolen, leaving them penniless and with nothing. Additionally, the entire family had become ill. Having no other recourse, the knight appealed to St. John for his help. He promised to care for the family and then began to nurse them and found work that would provide them with food despite the poor treatment that the poor citizens received at the hands of the colony's rulers. The desertion of one of
St. John's co-workers to a nearby Muslim city in order to escape this treatment, which meant his conversion to that faith, led to a growing feeling of despair in him. Troubled and feeling spiritually lost from his failure to practice his faith during his years of military service, he went to the Franciscan Friary in the colony. There he was advised that his desire to be in Africa was not working to his spiritual growth and that he should consider returning to Spain. He decided to do this. Landing in Gibraltar, he began to wander around the region of Andalusia, trying to find what God might want from him. It was during this period of his life that he is said to have had a vision of the infant Jesus, who bestowed on him the name by which he was later known, John of God, also directing him to go to Granada. St. John then settled in that city where he worked disseminating books using the recent movable type of printing press of Johannes Gutenberg to provide people with works of chivalry and devotional literature. He experienced a major religious conversion on St. Sebastian's Day of 1537 while listening to a sermon by John of Avila, and John would eventually become St. John of God's spiritual director and would encourage him in his quest to improve the life of the poor. At the age of 42, St. John had what was perceived at the time as an acute mental breakdown. Moved by the sermon, he soon engaged in public beating of himself, begging mercy, and wildly repenting for his past life. He was incarcerated in the area of the Royal Hospital reserved for the mentally ill and received the treatment of the day, which was to be segregated, chained, flogged, and starved. He was visited by John of Avila, who advised him to be more actively involved in tending to the needs of others rather than enduring personal hardships. St. John gained peace of heart and shortly after left the hospital to begin work among the poor. Around this time, he made a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Extremadura, where it is said he experienced a vision of Mary, who encouraged him to work with the poor. St. John expended all of his energy in caring for the neediest people of the city. He established a house where he wisely tended to the needs of the sick poor, at first doing his own begging. When John began to put into effect his dream because of the stigma attached to mental illness, he found himself misunderstood and rejected. For some time, he was alone in his charitable work, soliciting by night the needed medical supplies and by day attending to the needs of his patients and the hospital, but soon received the cooperation of charitable priests and physicians. Many stories are related of the heavenly guests who visited him during the early days of his immense tasks, which were lightened at times by the Archangel Raphael in person. To put a stop to his custom of exchanging his cloak with any beggar he chanced to meet, Sebastian Ramirez, Bishop of Tui, had a religious habit made for him, which was later adopted in all its essentials as the religious garb of his followers, and the bishop imposed on him for all time the name given him by the infant Jesus, John of God. St. John of God died on March 8, 1550, on his 55th birthday in Granada. He died of pneumonia after he had plunged into a river to save a young man from drowning. His body was initially buried in the Church of Our Lady of the Victories, belonging to the Memim Friars, and remained there until November 28, 1664, when the Hospitaller Brothers had his relics moved to the church of their hospital in the city. John was canonized by Pope Alexander VIII on October 16, 1690, and later named the patron saint of hospitals and the sick. His feast day is celebrated today. A church was erected in 1757 to house his remains. On October 26, 1757, they were transferred to that church, now protected by the Knights of St. John of God. The church has been raised to the rank of a basilica. So, that's the story of St. John of God, and I knew it was going to take a long time to get it out. Do you have your window down?
No, I do not, but I'm driving on the highway.
Ah.
It's just loud.
Yes, a lot of road noise. So, let's get into the daily update real quick. We've only got a couple of minutes left. William's got two shows tomorrow on Catholicism Rocks at 10 a.m. Eastern. They're going to be talking about the various titles of Mary. And then on Burnt Toast and Coffee at noon Eastern, they're going to be talking about who wrote the book of Hebrews. They were supposed to talk about it last week, but apparently his interview got moved to this week. So they'll be talking
about...
Two very
interesting shows.
Very interesting shows. And I don't know what Terry's topic is for next week yet. Do we have anything else coming up over the weekend, John?
No. Just,
and
I was planning on doing production work and debate prep, and that's going to be curtailed somewhat because they had to work tomorrow. But,
well, the debate
is... Just keep plugging along.
And the debate is a week from tomorrow, isn't it?
Actually, a week from today.
A week from today? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, today's the 8th. It's next Friday. Wow.
Yep.
And I don't know what Ken's topic was will be next week. I know what it was this morning. We talked about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, and it was a really, really, really good show. And I'm not just saying that because I was on the show. I mean, it really flowed, and there was a good back and forth between us. And I really felt like we told the story of St. Faustina and the story of Divine Mercy very well.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
And then Lisa's show will be April 6th, and her guest is going to be a concert pianist. Hang on, let me see if I can find it. Now, let's see. On Sunday the 24th, I think it is, she's going to be doing her Easter concert. She told me Saturday the 24th, but the 24th is a Sunday. So it's either Saturday the 23rd or Sunday the 24th.
I believe it's the 24th. I'll double check on that.
And then Faith O'Brien is her guest on April 6th on Rockin' for God.
Awesome.
And then, of course, we're with you every day at 3:30 p.m. Eastern for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And starting on Good Friday, which is the 29th of this month, we are going to be saying the Divine Mercy Novena. And my blog page every day is going to have a link to the prayers that we'll be using for the Novena. So please go to that page and get the information so that you can be ready for the Novena, because it's going to be really powerful and important. And in the last 30 seconds or so we've got, I just want to remind everybody to visit our friends Tony and Paulette Rock at therockcompanyshop.com. They do a great job. In fact, I've got an order that's going to be shipping out in the next few days, and it will be here just in time for Easter. Hopefully it'll be here in time for Holy Thursday, because I ordered the Last Supper carving from Olivewood that's going to hang on my wall, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful. And then for Easter Sunday, I will bring out the Resurrection of Jesus set, and it's going to be beautiful on my altar for the 50 days after Easter, right up until Pentecost, which is the end of the Easter season. So, all right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow at 3:30. And until then, I want to remind you that my guest today, as most days, was John Benko. My name is Richard Pettis. I want you to have a blessed rest of your Friday. I want you to have a blessed Sunday until 3:30 when I see you. And I want you all to remember that Sunday Mass is a Saturday decision. So decide tomorrow that you're going to Mass on Sunday. Every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
And